Good morning, everyone. To those who I can see face to face, to those who are near me but I don't see face to face, praying to those who are upstairs, and to those whom I do not see and whom I cannot touch, far, far away. To all these, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Creep into our minds that sometimes we get very confused. And for people of my age, it is indeed a great challenge to come into this field of technology. But thank God, by His grace, that I'm able still to carry on with the ministry of God's Word. Well, beginning from today, I shall deal with a series of studies on the theme, the Christian priesthood. And this is taken from the text Hebrews 10:19-25. And I suggest to you that you have your Bibles open, and because you are going to concentrate on this passage, so it's good you just open up to Hebrews and then refer to the text when I refer to them. Now, this needs to be so because I cannot be referring to all the references. There are many of them to prove my point. And because I have been given a time limit, so I need to hurry through in order to finish what I'm supposed to finish. All right. Now, this series on the Christian priesthood can be a big puzzle to all of us. What is this Christian priesthood? I googled in the internet for a picture of the Christian priesthood, and this is the picture that I got. Is this Christian priesthood where you have got all this special group of people with their special garments and dresses, and if you can hear them, they are being addressed in a very special way, Your Holiness, Your Excellency, making this group of people more holy than all the other members of the church, so to speak. Is this what the Bible teaches? Is this the Christian priesthood? And in this kind of setup, there is this Christian hierarchy, so-called, of the Pope, followed by the cardinals, the patriarch, major archbishops, primates, metropolitan bishop, archbishops, the diocesan bishops. Now, the question is, how many of these titles are found in the scriptures? Are they scriptural? Perhaps you may have the word bishop in the Bible, in the King James Version. But the word bishop is not a title. It's just a descriptive word to mean an overseer, a superintendent. So there are no special groups of people. But then you find that in this Roman Catholic Church, there are all these titles to be associated with a certain group of people known as the clergy. And the others are not entitled to such titles. Is this what the Bible teaches? And we find that even in the Protestant denominations, when they come out from the church in the 16th century, they did not break away completely, and they carried some of the traditions and some of these things into their groups and denominations. And the result is we can also find some of these titles among them, but of course in a different setting perhaps. So, is this Christian priesthood? Is it scriptural for such a group of people to exist in the church? Therefore, we need to study the scriptures to know why we do not do what these people do, why we do what we do. And today's study will take us to the study, the topic, the character of the Christian priesthood. What actually is the Christian priesthood? And I thought I could finish this in one session, but no. Part 1 will take 2 sessions. So in for today and for next week when I come, I shall only deal with the Christian priesthood and its character. Then in the year to come, perhaps I shall be coming here as the Lord wills, then we shall deal with the character of our high priest. The Christian priesthood is based upon Hebrews 10:19-20. This which says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." That essentially is the basic text for the Christian priesthood. Then we can, and this is possible because of the character of a high priest, having a high priest over the house of God. And followed by a third part in the series, the conditions of the Christian priesthood, where we study in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. These are the conditions that need to qualify us to enter into the very presence of God. We shall deal with them in detail as we come to the topic. Then we shall end up the whole series. It may be end of next year when we talk of the commitment of priests in Hebrews 10:23-25, where we say, "Let us hold fast the profession, let us consider one another," and so on. So these are the things that we should be considering in for today, next week, and the years and the year to come. Right. So let's start the character of the Christian priesthood. What is the character of the Christian priesthood? Now, as I said, it is based on Hebrews 10:19-20. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Today, we shall only deal with three words. "Having therefore, brethren." The rest of the text we shall deal with next week. "Having therefore, brethren." The very fact that we have the word "therefore," having it therefore, gives us the conclusion that this is indeed a conclusion of a series of arguments before this text. Therefore, before Hebrews 10:19-20, what do we have? We have in chapter 1 to chapter 10, verse 18, a doctrinal assertion proving and illustrating Christian doctrine. In other words, it's a section on doctrines. Why we do what we do. Why? Giving us the arguments to be what we are, to do what we do. These we call the doctrines. Many people today do not like doctrines for the simple reason that it's very difficult to understand. It's boring. And you find that in many churches, many Christians do not know doctrines, but they prefer to hear practices. They like practical messages, messages that touch their hearts, that have to do with practical living day to day. But without doctrines, that's very difficult to establish why we do what we do. For example, today, we are gathered together at the Lord's Supper like this. We have no ordained priest. We have no special person to administer the bread and the cup. Why do we do this? And if you are challenged today, why? On what basis? What is the scriptural ground for such a practice? Would you be able to answer? You will not be able to answer unless you know the doctrine, the foundation behind it. And so the second part from our text, chapter 10 verse 19 to chapter 13 verse 25, we have the practical challenge. Having known doctrines, we have the challenge to our deportment, how we behave. You know this, then what? You should do this. And so we find that doctrines and deportment or duties are joined together. They are the twin pillars of our Christian faith and of our Christian lifestyle. So it's very important that we know doctrines. Doctrines sometimes can be dull. Can be very dull and can be very long-winded. But they are very important to establish us in why we do what we do. And this series of studies on the Christian priesthood is essentially on why we do what we do, giving the reasons of scriptures to support why we do what we do. So, let us therefore go back to the doctrines discussed before the therefore. Therefore, all right, if we go back to Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 8, we have the original purpose for God establishing priesthood. In that passage, Exodus 19, 5 to 8, I have 5 to 6 written for you before your view. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Not priests. From the very beginning, God wanted to establish a kingdom of priests, a nation of holy people. That was God's intention. And God called the people together. Look, if you will obey, the condition is set. If you will obey, I will make you a special people among all people, and I will make you holy, and I will make you all priests and kings as well. A kingdom of priests. Now, that was God's intention. I'd like you to know the words, if you will obey. These are the words. The condition will stand. If you will obey, then you will be. If you don't, cannot. Alright. Not the covenant. If you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, obey my voice and keep the things that I'm telling you to do, keep my commandments, then you shall be a peculiar people unto me. What are the commandments? Chapter 20, verses 1 to 26. We read that God gave them a series of commandments. Do this, do this, do this. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this. And all these could be summarized up under 10 commandments. And you know the 10 commandments very well. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before you. Second commandment, thou shalt not make any graven image. Very important. These were the two main commandments at the very head of the 10 commandments. Ahead of all the other commandments that God would give. Keep them. Secondly, the ordinances and judgments, chapter 21 to chapter 23. There were special relationships, men with men, men with women, women with women, people with property, husbands and wives, and all these other relationships. If any of these relationships were affected, then this is what you must do. Penalize them, and the punishment. So there were all these judgments and ordinances set up that if you want to be a priest, a nation of priests, then you must keep my covenant. Then when they all agree, we read in chapter 24, verse 3 and 8, verses 3 to 8, that the people, when told by Moses all these commandments, they said, all these we will do. Okay, you agree? Then let us confirm this. And Moses took a basin of blood, and half the basin of blood he sprinkled upon the altar to show God's part in this covenant, and the other half he sprinkled upon the people to show they agree. So with this agreement, God was ready to establish them as a holy people, as a nation of priests. All have agreed. Then God says, okay, you have agreed, now you are entitled to worship me. And God gave instructions, chapter 25 onwards, to the construction of the tabernacle and the various sacrifices that must be offered and the way they were to approach him to worship him. So all this was set up and agreed upon. In the meanwhile, Moses was invited by God to go up Mount Sinai, and God spoke to him regarding all these things 40 days and 40 nights. And while he was there up there, 40 days and 40 nights, the people were not patient enough and they grumbled. They said, we wanted to worship. And so you know the story very well. They came together and they offered their gold, their earrings, their whatever was they could afford to give out as gold ornaments, then they made a golden calf. And they started worshipping the golden calf. How could that be? First commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. Second commandment, thou shalt make no graven image. And there they were, setting up a golden calf and worshipping the golden calf. Of course, Moses was very angry when he heard about the noise below. And he came down and he saw all these and the Ten Commandments in stone that God had written with his own finger. He broke them into pieces because before he could even hand over the Ten Commandments, there the people had sinned in the very first commandment. Oh, they were angry. And God was going to destroy the people. There will be no more holy nation. There will be no more a kingdom of priests. God will destroy them. But Moses interceded. And Moses said, Who will be those who will come on the Lord's side? And the tribe of Levi came forward. We will be on the Lord's side and we will stand by him. And God said to Moses and to them, destroy those people and slay them who had worshipped this golden calf. And so they did. And that's why the tribe of Levi later on were taken up to be a shadow priesthood, that they would teach the priesthood or the nation of priests that God was going to establish what could and what could not be. They were going to form a shadow priesthood. And the tribe of Levi came out because of their faithfulness to be on God's side, to keep his commandments. And so, you see the contrast now. That original purpose that God was going to establish a priesthood, a nation of priests, failed because of the setting up of the golden calf that they worshipped. But God still wanted to create, to establish that kingdom of priests, that holy nation. He must, because it was his original plan. Now, therefore, if they will obey, they refuse to obey. Okay, look at the contrast now. This is the Christian priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And in the Christian priesthood, you see this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Not priest, almost the same exact words that God had for the original purpose that he wanted to establish a priesthood are now directed to the Christian priesthood. But not the difference. In the first one, God said, if you will obey. Now God says, you are. You are. In other words, with Moses, it was a conditions before status. If you obey, then you have the status of a priesthood. In regard to the Christian priesthood, you are. And because you are, you shall be. You must do this. This is the Christian priesthood. This is what we are. It does not depend on our conditions to keep the Christian priesthood. Because we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the brethren, and therefore we are. Let's go on. Fantastic. But in order to finally come to the Christian priesthood, God must show in picture form. God must teach in doctrines. God must teach through various incidents what the Christian priesthood was going to be finally. And so we have Isaiah 161:6. Okay, by the way, before I go to that, did God forgo his original purpose of having a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood? No, he did not. What he had planned from the very beginning, he must fulfill. And so it will be fulfilled for the children of Israel. Because in Isaiah 61 verse 6, we read, but you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall you boast themselves. The day will come during the great millennium, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon earth. During that millennium, the nation of Israel will be known as a nation of priests. And they will serve between, as ministers, between men, between the Gentiles and God. They will be the nation of priests offering sacrifices to God on behalf of the Gentiles. So God's purpose was never thwarted. It will be fulfilled later, according to time. But in the meanwhile, He will take out another group of people unto Himself, the church, and they will form the Christian priesthood. And through them, His word will then be propagated even to Israel, the other way around. Okay. And so, Isaiah 61 says, it's a very important verse. The Levitical priesthood is now taken up because the Levites were faithful to God. God later on took out the Levites and made them into priests, a tribe of priests. So, through them, God was going to show what the Christian priesthood was all about. And as a contrast to what the Christian priesthood is not, God showed in material form in order to show practically what His mind was. Well, the Levitical priesthood had priests, had a separate group of people, and they from out among the children of Israel, they were a separate tribe, called out specially to be priests, with Aaron the high priest. Then they had special garments to differentiate themselves, to distinguish themselves between themselves and the rest, that they were known as the priests, the tribe of priests. Alright, but that was to be set aside. Again, with regard to His original purpose, remember I said God had that original purpose of setting up a priesthood, but that was thwarted by man, who promised, who vowed to be faithful to keep His commandments, but did not. And therefore, God had to set them aside, but God will still fulfill that in the millennium to come. Now, with regard to the Levitical priesthood, which God now had established, it was going to be a shadow cabinet, a shadow priesthood. It would show what the Christian priesthood would be and would not be from what it was. And so lessons were introduced through the Levitical priesthood, so that later on when the Christian priesthood was established, then the Christians would know what the Christian priesthood would be. Firstly, therefore, we find that the Levitical priesthood had an inferior founder. The founder was, of course, was the Aaron, the head of the Levites. Hebrews 7, 9 and 10, God said, with regard to the Levites, the founder of the Levitical priesthood, when Abraham met Melchizedek, he bowed before Melchizedek the king, and he gave tithes to show that he was an inferior person. But as you read in Hebrews 7, 9 and 10, when Abraham bowed to give tithes to Melchizedek, actually it was also Levi who was already in the belly of Abraham, so to speak. You read that, 7:10. He was already in the belly of Abraham, so when Abraham bowed to give tithes, it was actually Levi who bowed as well in Abraham to give tithes to Melchizedek, to show that Levi was an inferior founder of the Levitical priesthood. Fantastic argument. You would never imagine such an argument to be used by anybody else, but God used it. Levi was in the belly of Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek. Therefore, as a founder of the Levitical priesthood, he was inferior. Then, imperfect foundation. With regard to the Levitical priesthood, we find that every priest had to conduct the ritual year in and year out, year in and year out, because it was never perfect. Even Aaron had to give a sin offering for himself. It was imperfect, he had an imperfect foundation. With inadequate features, as I said, animals had to be killed regularly at the same time on certain days and following certain rituals. So there was an inadequate feature in this. On the other hand, look at the Melchizedek priesthood. Melchizedek priesthood was above all the other priesthoods. Why? The founder was special. The founder was Melchizedek. He was a king. Secondly, he was a priest of the Most High God. No person on earth in history could ever be a king and a priest. To be a king in Israel, you must be born of the tribe of Judah. To be a priest in Israel, you must be born of the tribe of Levi. Nobody could be born of two tribes. Impossible. But Melchizedek was a king priest. And Christ was of the order of Melchizedek. And we Christians who are in Christ are of a priest in the order of Melchizedek. We are special. I will make you a special people, a peculiar people, a people of priests, a royal priesthood, a nation of priests. So that's why the Christian priesthood is so special. Alright, so that was about Melchizedek and Abraham. We will be talking about that only next year. This is part two of this study. Having therefore a high priest. Let's go on to what we have been doing. The obedience of the high priest. Hebrews 10, 5 to 10. Now, what happens is this. We read in Hebrews 10, 5 and 10 this text. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Apparently, God was not happy with the offerings that were being offered regularly. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 10. Apparently, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, knew about that. And he said that God was not happy with the sacrifices. And it said in Hebrews chapter 10, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God, to establish this Christian priesthood. But before he could do this, God had to prepare for him a body. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldst not. The Lord was not happy with all these, because that was temporal. But a body hast thou prepared me, the Son, to come to this world in order to establish this new priesthood of this nation of priests. And so, what is significant is this. What is significant is this. That this verse in Hebrews 10:5 is a quotation from Psalm chapter 40. In Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 to 8, especially in verse 8, in verse 6, we read, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. My ears hast thou opened. Can you see that? It's a quotation from Psalm. And in Psalm we read, sacrifice and offering thou would not desire. My ears hast thou opened. In Hebrews, when this is applied, it says, a body hast thou prepared. To substitute my ears, we have the word body. Why? What is the difference? Remember, God said to the people, if you will obey, and they did not, there must be obedience, and therefore their ears must be open. Because Psalm 40 verses is a reference to Exodus 21, verses 1 to 6 of the Nazarite law, where we read, if a slave had been with the master for 6 years, on the seventh year, he was entitled to be go free. But during the 6 years when the slave was with the master, and the master had given him a wife and children, then on the seventh year, when he was entitled to go free, and he did not want to go free, and he said, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I do not want to go free. I want to be with my master, my wife, and my children all the days of my life, forever. On that confession, the master would then take him to the judges, and then when they were satisfied with his confession, he would then take this slave to the doorpost of his house, and then he would put an oar or a nail through the earlobe and nail a hole through the ear of the slave to indicate that from now onwards he would be his slave forevermore. That would be the hole in the ear. My ears has thou opened, and that will stick with him forever. But in the case of the Lord, it's not so much the ears that we open, it has to be the body. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is spirit, is God. He cannot die at all. And therefore a body was prepared for him. A body was prepared for him so that he could be take the place of man in order for us to die. And here you see, therefore, the founder of the Christian priesthood establishing that foundation so that the Christian priesthood could be founded properly. So he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take, and with that, it would indicate he take away the first, the Levitical priesthood, that he may establish the second, the Christian priesthood, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The outcome of this obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ was the establishment of the Christian priesthood. He take away the first that he may establish the second. Was the endowment of Christians as priests. We are sanctified now as priests. We who have believed in him, we are all now priests before God. All, not one, not two, not three, not a special class. All are priests. All are sanctified. Why? By the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all, as with a slave. You are a slave for the master forever. Forever. Right. Very quickly now, the constitution of the Christian priesthood. Who then are these Christian priests? Who are they? We come to the next word in our context, in our text. Brethren. We have confidence. Brethren. Who are these brethren? Because these brethren are priests. Right. Hebrews 10:19. I'd like you to note, as we study the Bible, that there is complete silence regarding a special priesthood in Scripture. Either all are priests in the church, or not at all. There is no such thing as a special group of people who are priests. No such thing. Priests, the word priests are used in the New Testament of a priest or the pagan god Zeus. I go through this quickly to save time. Jewish priests, we read of that. Believers are all priests. Revelation 1:6, we are referred to as a kingdom of priests. Christ is himself a priest of the Most High God. And Melchizedek is a priest. There's no special class of priests among believers. So, in the church, to establish a group of people as special priests, known as so-called clergy, is not right. It's not scriptural, based on what we have seen in our arguments to establish this Christian priesthood. Secondly, not only the silence, we notice the absence of the special priesthood in Scripture. Throughout Scripture, in the New Testament, with regard to the church, there is no teaching of a special priest to perform special duties for the other members of the church. There's no mention in the list of special gifts given to the church to establish the members of the church. For example, in Ephesians 4 and 2. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, we read, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Four special gifts are given to establish the church today. And they are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Actually, they refer to one group of people, teaching pastors. Apostles and prophets are no more necessary because they had already given the church the scriptures. That's the foundation, Ephesians 2:20. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's the scripture given to us. They wrote the scriptures and they gave to us, and we are built on the scriptures. Then we need evangelists and pastors, teachers. Evangelists go out, bring the people in. Teaching pastors, build them up. And that's all that we need today. We don't need a special group of priests to pray on our behalf, to intercede on our behalf. We do not need them. Why? Because all of us are priests. There's no mention also in the list of personages connected with the Church of God. For example, we read that in the church there will be elders, bishops, overseers, shepherds, pastors, deacons, ministers. No mention of priests. No mention of any special group known as priests in the church. Although there are all these groups available there. So, the presence of the Christian priesthood in Scripture, who are constituted priests? Therefore, who are the priests in the church? Well, let's read the scriptures. All who are believers in Christ. Now, in 1 Peter 2:5 and 9, we read that God has chosen us to be a special people, that we should become a kingdom of priests and holy nation. And taking that context of 1 Peter chapter 2, taking the context, what do we read? To the people who are addressed as a kingdom of priests and holy, and then holy nation. Those born again. Chapter 1, 22, 23. Those who are born again, they are priests. Those who are newborn babes in Christ, seeking the will of God. Even babes in Christ, new ones, just newly born, newly saved, they are already priests. They are kingdom of priests and holy nation. Those who believe, chapter 2, verse 7. Those who belong to God, that God one day will call them out and they shall say, He is my God. And God will say, They are my people. God will own them as their own. Those in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1, 5 and 6, we read that there's a reference to a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And who are they? They are those washed in the blood of the Lamb. Who are they? They are those who are redeemed by His blood. And so we find that there is no special group of people who are priests. All these indeed belong to God. Every one of you, from the youngest to the oldest, from a man to a woman, all are priests. All have the right to go into the very presence of God. All have a right to go into the holiest. Now, therefore, brethren, we have the assurance that we can now enter into the Holy of Holies by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us, that is to say, His flesh. We have a new living way. We have the new normal. The new normal is not established just in March this year when COVID-19 attacked us. The new and living way, the new normal was established when the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again and established Himself as the High Priest, our High Priest in heaven. This is a new normal. So we need not have to go back to the old normal of having a clergy and a priest in our midst. Right. Next, all who are brethren of Christ. Now, very, very understanding of the Lord. In Hebrews 10:19, we read that those who are saved are His brethren. And because of that, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 11 says that those who are sanctified are the same as those who sanctify. And He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter into the holiest. Brethren, who are meant by the brethren? They are those who are saved. They are those who have been sanctified by the Lord Jesus. They are those whom the Lord is not ashamed to call brethren. They are all in the church, not in the physical church, but in the mystical church that the Lord established, where two or three are gathered together in His name, God will be in the midst. And those who are called, partakers of the heavenly calling. So, I hope with this I've established this very important fact, that every one of you is a priest, and you are a holy priest, and you are a king. Why? We shall establish that next week when we consider our next lesson, when we consider the Lord Jesus Christ as a high priest. So, what have I done today? I must have finished now. I have dealt with you the classes of priesthood, the original purpose of God. It was thwarted. God had set the purpose aside for a little while, but God will one day establish that purpose again, when in the millennium He will set up a nation of priests among the children of Israel, and Gentiles will come in to join them to approach God. Then we read about the other priesthood set up by God, the Levitical priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood. The Levitical priesthood was a shadow priesthood to teach us the things that God wanted to teach us, what to do and what not to do. And then we have the final, ultimate priesthood of the Melchizedek priesthood, of which Christ is a priesthood after that order, and of which we in Christ are now priests of the order of Melchizedek. And then to see the obedience of the high priest, because of his obedience, he is able to establish his Christian priesthood. Then we read of the constitution of the Christian priesthood, those that there is no special priesthood mentioned in the scriptures, and there's an absence of a special priesthood, but there's the presence of a Christian priesthood. And next week we shall discuss the confidence that we have of the Christian priesthood. And with this confidence, what kind of confidence? It is not something that is shabby, that is temporary. It is a confidence that is completely objective, based upon facts, based upon doctrines established by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And this is what makes us to come ready to come to meet Christ. Let us therefore come boldly into the presence of God through the new and living way which He has consecrated for us, which is to say, His flesh. May the Lord bless us, and may the Lord help each one of us here to use this to use our status of priesthood, especially during this time, during the COVID-19 threat, when people are afraid, when people are fearful, when people are discouraged. This is the time for you to bring forward all your disappointments, all your fears, all your other things that you lack, all your needs. Bring them to the Lord. You have no need to go and see Mr. Kakui or Mr. Tan Bunsai. And ask them, please pray for me. Please. It is good to ask these people to pray for you. It is good in fellowship. But remember this, you have a right to go to the Lord direct. Tell Him what you need. Tell Him, and He will give you your answer. You must have this boldness. You must have this confidence. You must have this assurance. May the Lord bless all of you today.